Solskjaer has done it!
Leicester City have won the Premier League.
Scholes again. Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Frank de Boer singing out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful!
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin and joining me this week we've got Shane Lees.
Hello!
See, I give you first billing this week.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Anthony Kendrick.
Hello!
And Richard Hugh Hudson.
Good evening.
You all well, lads?
Disappointing.
That's the best you're getting this week.
That didn't tickle my testicles like it normally does.
I've gone a couple of octaves lower this week.
I mean, you've got the sexy raspy thing going on. That kind of works for me.
I was going to say, it's like you just found out Darth Vader's your dad or something.
I imagine come tomorrow I'm not going to have much voice at all.
Well, we're very honoured you're using the last of your voice on us.
Yes.
I'm sure all the listeners are too.
I was like that last week, but Thursday I thought I was losing my voice. So I apologise if I cough a bit during the podcast. I'm just coming off a sore throat as well. So.
Yeah, I apologise if I die in the podcast.
At least there's four of us on, so me and Shane can talk and argue till the cows come home if necessary. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't apologise. I apologise if I die. You're all just going to have to deal with it.
I assure you, I won't die mid-podcast.
Oh, that's just tempting fate right there.
Yeah, but Chris can edit it out if I do die.
Can you imagine being that cynical? Oh, he's gone. Let's just cut him from the last show. What kind of cruelty is that? You're not Kevin Spacey. Ooh, close one.
A topic of... Wait, but Kevin Spacey's not dead.
Let's just edge slowly away from this like all of his victims. Whoa.
I've not done anything that makes me deserve being cut. Well, you guys don't know about it anyway. It'll be 25 years when you find out.
Football!
So there has been a few stories that have caught my eye this week. First one, probably more interest to Anthony than anybody else. So according to Grimsby Town, only three Sunderland fans made the £150, 150-mile trip. For the under-21s 7-6 victory in the Checker Trade Trophy. Checker Trade.
some of the attendances in that have been absolutely pathetic, though. It's been like a couple of hundred, some of them. It's a joke.
There's really 200 and something, I think, turned up. Only three Sunderland fans.
I heard with it, it was a slightly bit more than three. I heard it was seven in total.
That's all right.
But of which of that, one was actually just a Leeds United fan who went along with his grandson. It was his 65th birthday present.
We've discussed it on the 72 show a few times, but it's made a mockery of the competition because of the under-23 sides, the academy teams being part of it. And yeah, it doesn't surprise me hearing that story. I mean, we saw several cases of it last year where there was a few hundred, as I say, and 250 or whatever it was you said, that's been the typical sort of thing, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's rendered the competition totally pointless. I mean, I feel almost ashamed singing Johnson's Paint Trophy, You've Never Won That Now.
Yeah, I think Grimsby Stadium holds about 4,000 or 5,000 people, so it's a small stadium. If it's only got 200 people in it, it still looks massive.
I'll put it this way, when I went to Southampton's pre-season game against Brentford, we took 2,000 fans there.
Yeah.
Pre-season game. So that's not even actually any kind of competition. So, I mean, the fans will go to the football, so long as they actually feel like they're watching a team, not a bunch of under-21s.
I think they had a couple of... A couple of first teamers in the side.
A couple. Can't wait to see Duncan Watmore.
There are only allowed three overage players, aren't they, I think?
I think so. I haven't got them written down, but it did say in the article who played. I didn't recognise all the names. So one of the greatest world records in football is about to be broken this weekend by 47-year-old goalkeeper. So on Wednesday, Paul Backstock He equaled Peter Shilton's appearance record when he started. When he started his 1,249th game. This weekend he'll break it against Thurford Town on Saturday. That should be...
I almost feel like, for common decency, he just shouldn't do it. Just leave it with Shilton, a name people will vaguely know and respect. Otherwise that record suddenly becomes, which shit non-league player can just survive for as long as possible without choking on their pints and fags and pork scratchings?
It might be worth writing down this name, though, for all your pub quizzes. You know, so it's probably going to be a good name to remember.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It's not something you're going to be able to guess, is it?
Yeah, it's going to be one of the facts you've got to know.
I'm going to quiz in a minute.
Ooh, that's fighting talk.
Right, Falkirk forward Kevin O'Hare has been given an 8-match ban for taunting Dunfermline midfield Dean Shields because he only has one eye.
I want to know the exact nature of that taunt. was the taunt just you half-blind bastard or something? Because I feel like it's not a taunt if you're stating a fact. You go up to someone and go, you've only got one eye. You're not taunting them if they've only got one eye. You're just telling them. You're telling them something they might have forgotten. Dean Shields might have forgotten he hasn't got a right eye.
It doesn't say in the article.
Piratey things. Good. Maybe he thought he took to the high seas with great frequency and pillaged and plundered various Caribbean islands. How can they prove that he wasn't making that joke, thinking Dean Shields was a pirate, not just that he had one eye? I should be Dean, whatever the fuck his name is, the lawyer.
What if he's like, question his like depth of perception and such?
Well, he's not going to have an Andrea Pirlo range of passing, is he? He plays in Scotland.
Like, is this small or far away?
Small? Far away? No, I'm still not getting it. Come on, Nuno.
Where's
come
that
on,
like from?
It's Father Ted.
Yeah, thank you.
And finally, I've got a question for you. So why is the worst player on FIFA 18 not the worst player?
Because he's a coach, or he's a kit man. No, he's a kit man on the German side.
Yes. Oh.
Sorry,
come on, if you get it right first time.
Oh, shit, sorry. Do you want to edit that out? Do some answers first.
Let's try that again. Is it because he's Kevin Spencer? No.
It's like Mock the Week or something. It'd be really boring if they just got the answers right.
You'd be the one on Mock the Week, though. Just going, well, I know what Prince Charles actually said. So yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and skip all the racism jokes and the posh things. Just tell everyone what he said.
So Tommy Casemodel. I'm sure it sounds better in German.
Casemodel.
Lee Casemodel.
Well, he's rated 46. He's technically a member of the squad because the team uses a loophole that's in German football rules that every German team has to have at least four. Players that were developed in their own academy. He's a failed midfielder from their academy, so they need somebody. They can just put him on the bench, but he'll never play.
So, well, he might be a failed midfielder, but he's a damn successful kit man.
You do wonder, though, if England started playing failed midfielders who became kit men. Yeah, I mean, with all the injuries, that's what they might end up having to do.
This weekend, yeah.
Jordan Henderson's going to be going that way, the twat.
isn't that Jake Livermore?
He's a failed drug addict, that's worse. That's a really bad thing to fail at. It's really easy. Ooh, banter. Ooh, is that a bit too far?
I think. I just want the news, I don't want this banter.
Shane's just enjoying us to be able to hear him this week. So in part two, we'll be discussing West Ham appointing David Moyes and then the rumours about who's going to take over Everton. But first, it's the first round on the pitch. Here are your question master this week.
Yeah, I agreed to this when I had a voice, apologies. first round I'm going to have as Anthony versus Shane.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay.
This round is based on our recent success at the Under-17 World Cup, I want you to name the teams involved, which teams the England squad come from.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
So if, Anthony, if you want to go first.
Do you need me to... The under-17.
Okay.
So obviously there's some that are multiple. I'll just, once you've got that club, that club's ruled out.
Okay, that's fine. I know Chelsea contributed quite a few, so I'll go with that.
Yep, Chelsea contributed 5 players the most. I wonder how many of those will actually ever make a full team game for Chelsea.
So I've just got to name a team who's got someone in it.
Yeah.
Arsenal
have 1 player.
Ooh, close.
United seems the obvious place to go.
Can you name the player?
Not that young. No, I don't keep an eye on the players that when they're that young.
Oh, you should have known him. Gomez.
Angel Gomez.
Yes.
That's an English name.
Oh, really? Is he in the? I didn't know that.
And he's, who's he? The is it the cousin or the nephew of?
The Aston Villa striker Angel?
No, Nani.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that. That's a good fact.
Back over to Shane.
Man City.
Yep, City have got 3 players. Anderson, the captain, Latibird, whatever he's called, and probably the star of the tournament, Phil Foden.
He looks like a great player.
Yeah, he does. I went to watch him play for the City under-23s the other week, actually. Okay, I'll assume... just to check, is this doing 5 each and then sudden death if it's a draw?
Yeah.
Okay, no worries. May as well go for the other big E, Liverpool.
Yeah, they had just the 1 player, but he was the one that ended up being the top scorer of the tournament, Ryan Brewster.
Yeah. Oh, of course, yeah.
I know one, because he's actually a quality player, and he's playing quite regularly for Wolves now. So Wolves, but Morgan Gibbs-White, he's class.
Yes, very good. 3 all.
Oh, I've just thought of one. Who is it, their club now, or is it the club at the time of the call-up? Because I know a player who made a transfer, and I don't know which club he would be classed as.
I've got them based down at which club they're at now.
Which club they're at now? Okay, in that case, I'll say Dortmund, because they've got that City kid, Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, he had already moved at the point of when it took place. He'd already gone over to join the World Cup, but then Dortmund recalled him because they wanted to play him in a game anyway, at the quarter-final stage.
Oh, of course, yeah, okay.
Have we had Spurs?
We haven't. We have now, and it's fine.
Good.
Two Spurs players.
So it's 4 all.
They wouldn't stitch me up, would they? I'm tempted to go. No,
is not correct. No is the wrong team.
Shane likes to go on about how good the Southampton Academy is, so I'm tempted to go for them. But I won't. I'll go because I know Derby have got a Category 1 Academy, though, one of the top sides. I'll go for Derby County, and if Southampton have got one, I'll just go kill myself. Derby's my answer.
Well, you've gone for Derby. They've not got anybody in it.
Well, you missed a really obvious one. Everton.
Everton get the win for Shane.
You just went straight out there with Derby when Everton. How many young players have they got knocking about in the England under various teams?
Derby have got quite a few as well. You'd be surprised.
Everton only have the 1 in the under-17s.
Derby are a Premier League in the top division of the under-23, the under-23 Premier League. They've got a very good academy. Obviously not good enough to have anyone in the fucking England under-17s.
Do you know who else you could have had? And he's quite a well-known name already. Sessegnon.
Oh, yeah,
the young left-back.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually, yeah.
I don't know any of the others.
If you'd have said Southampton...
No, we didn't have any. None of ours.
Yeah, you'd have been wrong as well.
Oh, that's all right. I feel better now.
Yeah, the other clubs you could have had were Stoke, Crystal Palace, Reading, and if you'd have got this one, I'd doffed my cap at you, Fleetwood Town.
that's the real sudden death question. How many teams can we guess before one of us just says Fleetwood?
Isn't Owen the only one who would have got that because he'd have googled it?
There you go, Shane wins the first round.
Oh, congratulations, Shane.
Thank you, Anthony.
So is he 1-0 up, or is his points carry forward?
Yeah, he's 1-0 up.
Okay, cool. Right, so new West Ham boss David Moyes says he has a point to prove as he aims to repair his reputation at the new club. He's replaced Slaven Bilic, who was sacked on Monday. What do you think of Slaven Bilic's sacking before we get on to Moyes?
It's actually probably one of the few ones where everyone's kind of agreeing with it now at this point. I mean, it's a shame you never want to see someone lose their job like that, but it was quite clear he didn't... It wasn't just that he wasn't getting the results anymore or wasn't inspiring the players. I thought it was quite clear he didn't really want to be there anymore. We're just kind of waiting for it to happen. I think that's the real sign that it really does need to happen, when even the manager himself isn't really fighting to stay in the job anymore. So I think that's about right, actually.
I liked him as a manager, I did, you know, but yeah, no, I agree. I think it was kind of about the right time, and yeah, it's a bit sad, I think. I hope he's well. Apparently he's had some mental health issues, so yeah. But yeah, I think it was about the right time, I agree.
I think West Ham as a club, sort of board of directors, are just one of the biggest jokes in the Premier League.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they didn't get this decision wrong, I think, would be, you know, getting rid of him. But I would be, if I was a West Ham fan, I'd just be so worried about the long-term direction of my club, because I'd be thinking to myself, are these guys planning any more than 2 years down the line at any point? And that's the sign of a club, not just a club, but any kind of company, any kind of organisation at all in the world that isn't going to survive for any real length of time, or thrive for that matter. So yeah, I'd be really worried if I was a West Ham fan with that lot in charge.
Well, was it one of the German chairmen that came out and basically called them the Dildo Brothers
the other week? That's about right.
The Twitter handle Hammers Polls. They put a poll up saying, "Do you want David Moyes as our next manager?" And last time I looked, it was 80% no. So I think they put it up on Monday.
I don't know a West Ham fan that wanted Moyes in charge.
It doesn't shout ambition at you. I think.
But when he says he's got a point to prove, does that mean he's aiming to get a point a season?
I was going to say, when he I watched his news conference, was it yesterday, I think, and he did look quite visibly like fresher. I don't think it's the worst appointment. I think obviously he was out of his depth at United, but with all the success he had at Everton, I think he can get that team playing some decent football. He can sort out that defence, I think he'll do a decent job.
Anthony, do you know something? I've disagreed with you a lot on this show. I do not disagree with you there, actually. I think that people are letting the last few years of Moyes' career completely tarnish the about two decades of really good management experience he had before that. Yes, he's not had the best of times with United, but, I mean, has anyone since Sir Alex Ferguson left? No. So are we going to say that Louis van Gaal is as bad as manager as David Moyes? Of course we're not. Did he do well at Sunderland? No, but that team, we were all saying for years, needed to be going down. Eventually someone was going to have to be in charge when it happened. And Real Sociedad, yes, that's not great. He should have done a hell of a lot better than he did. But I just think people are getting a little bit over top about how bad a manager is because of all of the press attention that happened when he was United manager. I don't think it's quite as diabolical as people were thinking it is as an appointment. And I think he will genuinely surprise people. I think, one, if he can get that team organised, which is the first thing they need to do because they have none of it, and have a little bit of spirit about them, he can keep them up this season. But potentially, if you're thinking long-term appointment, could this work for, you know, Moyes for West Ham? It's almost the exact kind of club he needs to be at. It's the exact kind of club where he could thrive. So I agree. I don't actually think this is a terrible appointment. I think people are just reacting too much because he's not got the best reputation from the last few years.
Can I just point out with Sunderland as well, they didn't actually sack him. They wanted him to stay at the club beyond that. They wanted him to be there this season. And you look at where Sunderland are now, they're bottom of the Championship or in the relegation zone for sure. And, you know, the clubs are shambles, irrelevant of whether David Moyes was there or not.
Yeah, people...
Go on, sorry.
people were saying, you know, oh, he could have kept that team up. I'm sorry, they can barely keep that team up in the championship at the moment. So what miracles was he supposed to perform? I don't really get that. That's everyone said at the start of the season, they're going down. They said it the season before, they're going down. They said it the season before that, they're going down. It was going to happen. There was really not a lot he could do when he had no money.
What he didn't help with, though, is when he took over there, he said himself they're probably going down.
Yeah, was he incorrect in doing that? Was he incorrect in actually analysing the situation and going, this is a shit team, I've got my work cut out for me here? Sorry, are we supposed to think, oh, he should be going in there and saying, do you know, I think this is a really good side and we're going to be able to stay up and look like a total div when it all goes to shit, as it inevitably will? I don't get what was wrong with that.
I think it's when clubs suddenly lose motivation. You look at the like of Swansea, when the new manager took over there. They were heading down to relegation, new manager comes in, picks them up, and they get out of relegation. Moyes goes in, says, well, we're probably going to get relegated. Heads drop, nobody's playing.
I don't think that's the same situation. That's not the same situation at all. Swansea were a side who didn't need to go down. Sunderland did. Swansea were a team that were good enough to stay up. Sunderland were not. That is, for me, the fundamental basis of it. And even so, let's almost ignore Sunderland. Has he taken over West Ham and gone, well, it's going to be a tough old task to keep this lot up. We're not very good, actually. Or has he said, no, there's a real chance here for us to build something, to do something. Yes, he has. So I don't get what people are now moaning about, him being, oh, he's so negative. Has he shown any of that yet as West Ham manager? No. So how can we judge him on it? Because he was pretty damn positive
West
when
Ham
he was...
West Ham as well are a fan base that hate managers that play negative tactics.
True,
like Sam Allardyce did well with the club when he was there.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the thing.
West Ham fans always wanted him out.
True, but if you're David Moyes and you need to rebuild your career, you look at what Allardyce did and said that rebuilt his career. Sure, he absolutely nuked it himself a bit later on, but that rebuilt Sam Allardyce's career as a proper, genuine manager again. So if he's looking at it thinking, I've got a chance here, all he's got to do, year one, is keep them up. If he gets a second year after that, see if he can get them into top 10, because that's a team on paper, you'd think. Jesus, they should be. So achieve expectations. Suddenly, he's no longer the joke manager. So if you're David Moyes, one, why wouldn't you take this position? And if you're actually a football fan who isn't a West Ham fan, thinking, oh God, negative football, we need to be playing the way we were in the glory years, which none of us are even alive to remember anymore, I think you've got to say, it's not actually a daft appointment. It really isn't. I don't get who the hell else they could have got who would have been better. That's the big one as well.
I think they could have easily have tried to get a Silver, a Dyche, one of those managers.
I don't think any of that would have left for him. I really don't.
I don't think Silver would have done, no chance.
I'm pretty sure if Sean Dyche was going to leave Burnley, I think it would have happened by now. Or he's already committed to going to Everton. It's got to be one of those two things.
Shall we move on to Everton then? So there's been a couple of rumours in the last couple of days. Diego Simeone apparently is the Everton owner's top target to take over the club.
I'm sorry, I can end that one with one sentence. Bollocks.
Well, he's a target, fair enough. A very ambitious target. There's nothing wrong with saying he's a target, fine. But yeah, I think it's very unlikely he's going there. Probably is. He might leave Atletico this season. He's leaving at some point soon, isn't he? But yeah, I don't think he's going Everton.
There is no point in saying he's a target. There is something wrong with that. That's like me going, well, I will accept the top target,
which means the number one target.
Yeah, I would accept a nice 6 out of 10 girl. But geez, I'm targeting Beyonce. I'm wasting my time. I am wasting my time. I'm wasting her time. She doesn't even realise it. It's just pointless. They're not going to get him. Why try? It's not like they're going for a manager who's got a big reputation that's out of work. They're going for the current manager of Atletico Madrid. Are they mental?
other rumours, Big Sam coming in for £100,000 a week.
Who's that?
Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a bad thing. We said it the other week. We said, give Unsworth a chance. If it works out, good. If it doesn't, then bring in Sam Allardyce. I think, okay, it's clearly Unsworth. He might be a good manager. He hasn't really had the chance to prove it yet. A club like Everton, I think you kind of need someone to come in with a bit more impetus behind them. I think a manager like Sam Allardyce could be a perfect fit. They can't think this season, oh, maybe we could still drift into Europe, or maybe we could do all right. Just think, sort yourselves out. Get your defence sorted, get your midfield sorted, stop being divs, and sort yourself out so you can try again next year. That's Sam Allardyce all over.
Were you not surprised David Moyes didn't go back to Everton? Because I thought that was a serious possibility.
I doubt they wanted him. Without being harsh, I doubt they would, because they're owned now by people who think an awful lot of them themselves because they're clearly trying to get Simeone. So they're a little bit deluded. So I think they probably wouldn't have even thought about it. Just a quick mention, Everton, I don't know if people have been keeping up with the Paradise Papers.
Oh, yeah.
It's now kind of under massive question who even owns Everton. So watch this space. If I was a manager at the moment and I'd read that in news, I'd be thinking, the people who would pay my salary might be getting indicted for fraud. let's kind of avoid that.
It's
Arsenal that own Everton, isn't it?
I'll say, I miss Pararama this week, so I want to watch it. So I was going to say, Arsenal and Everton have the same owners or something.
Yeah, it's basically the, what's his name, Moshiri. The money he used to buy Everton was originally Usmanov's. It was gifted to him, or allegedly gifted to him, I should say. And then he used that money after it got returned to him, after he sold back the money that was gifted to him to the person who gifted it to him, and then took that money, which he had now made, now that he'd already had money, and used it to buy Everton, but no one quite knows how he got that money either. So, probably Arsenal own Everton.
That's very well explained, I have to say.
That's about as close as anyone's going to be able to get to making sense out of that cluster shit.
Allegedly, we have to say.
Allegedly, many allegedly, just like Jake Livermore. And Spacey.
Alright, so part three, we'll be predicting who's going down this season. And giving our thoughts on the first round of the FA Cup, but it's time for the second round of our quiz.
Okay, so this one is going to be Anthony versus Chris.
Yep.
This is teams. Well, it's playoff tonight for the World Cup, for the 2018 World Cup finals.
Yep.
So I want you instead to name which teams made the playoffs for the 2014 World Cup.
Ooh.
This includes the playoff finals for the AFC versus CONMEBOL and the CONCACAF versus OFC.
So anywhere in the world, anywhere. Okay, cool.
Yeah, not just you.
That is a fantastic question.
Anthony can go first.
Sorry.
It's better Chris going first. You went first last time, didn't you, Anthony?
Anthony went first last time. Yeah.
Yeah, go on, yeah. Go on. Sorry, I was being stupid.
New Zealand?
Yeah, they got to the final.
I don't like this question at all.
I'm sorry, I'll do you a new one.
Sweden tend to get to a lot of playoffs. They don't usually win the group, so I'll say Sweden.
You'd be right to say so.
Oh, thank you.
I'm trying to think who finished fifth in the...
Just trying to remember England's group, to be honest.
Republic of Ireland?
No.
If it's the old World Cup, so apart, you're gonna get some big countries in there, because there's only there'd be about eight groups or something. So, Croatia.
Croatia is correct.
Holland?
The Netherlands? No.
I'll do very well.
Okay. I'll stick with my tactic of middling Euro teams. Switzerland?
No.
What?
The Chuggy?
Colombia?
Nope.
You are not doing very well.
That was your fourth guess, so Anthony can win this.
Yeah.
Poland?
Nope.
Jesus Christ, guys.
Twisted to a level.
Wales?
Oh.
No.
Oh, you! Oh, why did I get this question?
Get the only shape.
We've
got 5-5.
You're going to have one last go, Anthony. You've already won 2-1, but you could make it 3-1.
Oh, if I won, I'd
Oh, God.
He's so happy. He's celebrating.
Smashed my mic. Dropped the mic. I'd rather not embarrass myself. England. So England probably won their group.
We did.
I think we got Ukraine, because I'm sure we got them in the World Cup. We had them, or we got them in Yeah, I'm going to say Ukraine.
You'd be right to say so.
Were they with England? Am I right?
I seem to recollect they were.
Guys, you forgot. Did people say France?
Nobody said
that. Was that when they beat Ireland with them?
That was earlier than that. That was the 2010 one, wasn't it?
Yeah, this France beat Ukraine. The teams you missed, Portugal, yeah.
Portugal beat them.
Ukraine, France, Greece and Romania.
Oh, I know one. We had them in our group. Uruguay.
Yep. Iceland.
Oh, and my favourite team, Mexico.
Mexico. And the last one was Jordan.
Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Should have got that one.
I'll do better next time. I'm not doing very good at quizzes this season.
Showing, guys.
Sorry. Maybe we should just make all the quizzes Shane versus Shane or something. So
I think Shane would have a good chance of winning.
Well, at least the listeners get at least 10 to the quiz that way.
The last quiz for the evening is going to be even harder, so good luck.
I look forward to it.
It's going to be 90s football. I'm good at 90s football.
well, it does have the 90s involved in it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Whoa.
And the 2000s and the 2010s.
Ah, cool.
Which footballers survived all three generations? Easy.
Right, so the FA Cup first round produced a handful of surprises. Arguably, Oxford City's 1-0 win over Colchester's probably the pride of place. Anthony, you wanted to discuss this. What other teams impressed you?
Yeah, there's quite a few, really. Lincoln and Sutton, who were the two sort of heroes last year, both got knocked out. They both lost 1-0. Lincoln was against Wimbledon, and Cambridge United beat Sutton 1-0.
Lincoln have had their baby boom since, wasn't he? So.
I'm sorry?
Lincoln have had a baby boom since they got to the third round last year.
Oh, yeah, they have. Yeah, we mentioned that. Yeah, it's 9 months after their FA Cup run last year, so baby boom. What else? Danny Rose scored the goal of the weekend. It was an overhead kick as they beat Shore Lane 3-1. That's been named goal of the round. Slough got the biggest win of anyone. They beat Gainsborough Trinity 6-0. Heroes local team Mac Town lost 1-0 to Forest Green Rovers in the division above, so perhaps to be expected.
Bloody vegans.
There was MK Dons battering Hyde 4-0, which was on the BBC. I saw the other thing as well about that game, the Hyde pitch got damaged by a flare, but MK Dons fans have clubbed together to raise the money to get that repaired, which is good. I think I read about 12,000 or something.
Yeah,
12,000.
They have an artificial pitch, don't they? So,
yeah.
For the people at home.
Fleetwood beat Chorley Town 2-1 with a last minute goal. And also, just a shout out to Maidstone United, who beat, who are non league, and they beat Cheltenham 4-2 in a game with both sides down to 10 men. And amongst the goal scorers for Maidstone United, you may recall the name Zavon Hines, who played for West Ham.
Yeah.
What a player he was.
Just going forward, I just want to mention there's 5 replays next week. Probably the pick of them for me, Billericay Town play Leatherhead. There's been a lot of stories around them because they've signed Jamie O'Hara and a few other, Jermaine Pennant as well, and a few other big players play for Billericay Town. A lot of money going into that club. That's next week. And also Wigan play Fylde, I believe it is, in the second round, which is the game that BBC have chosen to be televised. I think that's all the big stories from the FA Cup. I don't know if anyone else noticed anything.
You missed out Tranmere. My local team.
Go on, sorry. Go on, please tell me what happened with Tranmere. I don't have that scores at hand.
Andy Cook came off the bench and the Tranmere a replay against Peterborough. They finished 1-1. The winner will take on Woken or Bury in the next round.
A Tranmere, that team that had that player Cole Stockton, who was supposed to be really good and then never ever was.
I think he was on loan from Wolves, wasn't he? Am I thinking the right person?
No.
There was somebody called Stockton playing for Tranmere. I don't follow them that closely, to be honest. I should do.
Disgrace. Bloody United fans.
I'd say I have been to see Tranmere more times than I've been to see United.
Bloody Tranmere fans.
When Tranmere come to play at Mac Town, there's more Tranmere fans than there are Mac Town fans. Mm.
Actually, I do know a Tranmere fan. He's permanently miserable.
It's between Brighton in 8th place and West Ham in 18th place, there's only 6 points. So Shane, you want to discuss who we think are going to go down?
Well, yeah, it's completely as a Southampton fan, I despise this because after our terrible years, I'm permanently terrified it will happen again. But you look at it, actually, it is so close at the bottom. So, we've spoken about Everton and West Ham and whether or not they're harsh or not. We are still at the point, it's worth remembering, that three good games will completely turn a side season around. Three good games for Bournemouth will throw them up into potentially the top eight.
Yeah.
You need results to go their way, but that's the kind of level we're talking about. And they're currently just circling the drain, 1 point away from the relegation zone. So if there's really anyone who could be in it, I think it's so difficult to call. Because on the one hand, you want to say Palace look like they're down. But again, two wins and they're in a position to be starting to get out of it. And they seem like they should be a team going down, but I'm finding it so difficult to call at the moment. Because all the teams you'd have thought would have been doing poorly, like Brighton and Huddersfield, well, they're in the top 10. Mm-hmm. So who the hell, I don't know, who do other people think are going down?
It is difficult. I think Bournemouth will go down. But other than that, it's impossible to call because, as you say, you've got the top six. And Burnley, you know, keeping up with them. So they're the only seven you could say with any confidence, really, are not going down, I think. I think it's very entertaining, and it has been for the last, you know, the last 2 or 3 years it's been like this. It's been an 8-19 relegation battle scrap. I'll say Bournemouth and Swansea to go down, but it's almost like the Football League. You just can't call it because it's so close. And, you know, in 2 months' time, we're going to be told, you've probably listened back to this and you'd be making a mockery of me saying, well, he said Swansea will go down the ninth in the table.
Yeah, it is at that level. I mean, my money's on, at the moment, Palace, Bournemouth and Stoke. But, I mean, in a month from now, all three of those teams could be fine. And, you know, we could be down there on the south coast thinking, oh, not again. Back to the James Beattie era.
I think West Brom will be interesting.
I wouldn't even rule out Burnley. I know they're on 19 points already, but you know, they lose Sean Dyche to Everton, and they could quite easily go into free fall.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, personally, I think Sean Dyche will stay. That's mainly a little bit because I hope he'll stay. Burnley are a team this season where if Sean Dyche leaves, they could go down, and if he stays, I think it's not actually wildly ridiculous for them to go and get a Europa League place. Because you look at all the other sort of middling sides and go and nick a sixth or seventh place, we're all crap at the moment. We're all rubbish, so why not Burnley?
If we're not going to discount Burnley, I also think we should add Arsenal into the mix because they've really underachieved on the same number of points, and also Liverpool because their defence isn't any better. You know, it's probably the worst defence in the league. And they're also on 19 points, so maybe we shouldn't discount them as well.
I think no, we should, I've... just because that's on the basis of me saying Ukraine to win the World Cup.
No, it's not a serious point, but there is a genuine point that it is. It's just insane, and anyone who's not listening to this podcast maybe now and is listening to it in a couple of months' time is probably laughing at these predictions we're going to make of teams to go down, I think.
Our base is when Chelsea, United and City go down. No one saw it coming.
It'd be interesting where West Brom finished, because I think they're 10 points worse off than they were last time. And this time last season, and nobody's mentioned them to go down. They're kind of in free fall at the moment.
Yeah, they started the season all right in the first couple of games, and I was thinking, okay, they might be able to do something this season. They've got a couple of good players in there. What has happened to them? They've just disappeared. They've completely shrunk away. I mean, I remember in the first few weeks when people were like putting their fantasy teams together, they're thinking, oh, I need to put in a couple of West Brom players. They're all sort of looking like they could do things. Now, no one will touch them. I don't understand what the hell has happened with West Brom, because you've got Pulis in charge. He's a good manager. He gets the best out of average players, I think. And you've got a lot of players in there who you think, okay, they're not world beaters, but they'll be your 7 out of 10s. They'll do you a good job every week. And when you're losing players like that when they're not doing well anymore, you're kind of wondering what you're depending on at that point.
Can I just point out, though, with West Brom's last game, they were very good against Manchester City, and I thought they were very, you know, unlucky not to get a point out of that.
Sure.
That's all I got.
Do you want to...
At the other end of the table, though, yeah. Man City, have they basically already won the title?
I bloody hope not.
I think they have, and I think it'll be a brilliant scrap for second place, to be honest.
I'd rather Spurs won it, even if I don't like Spurs. I like City less.
No, I'd like to see Spurs win it. Spurs have been my favourite team to watch the last couple of years. And yeah, obviously, you know, United, but I'd like to see Spurs win the league.
I just hate Guardiola, the pompous twat.
Are we possibly looking at the greatest Premier League side in a year in this City side?
I think the United team 2007-2008 are the only side I've seen in my history that could compete with it. You know, I sort of remember the Invincibles, but not properly, and you know, the earlier United and the other big sides of the 90s, but they're more, yeah, United 2008-ish sort of era for me, and two best sides.
2008 side is an amazing side.
Yeah, I think we're in a bit of danger of overhyping the current City side. They're very good, but at the same time, you think they've not pulled away completely from the likes of United and Spurs, or even Chelsea, actually, if you look at it on the table. And,
well, they're,
you know,
they're
both sides
ahead. They're 8 points ahead.
Didn't United lose a title by more? That means
11 games, though.
It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing at this point in the season, in the same sense that Crystal Palace can go and get Europe. It's nonsense to be calling it this early. If City have, people forget when Arsenal do this basically every year, when they start the season flying and everyone goes, oh, they could do something, and they go for 2 months over Christmas doing absolutely dick all. City could still have that. Everyone's thinking, oh, surely the wheels can't come off. But that's like every single empire that was ever built. Oh, it can never really go wrong. This will just keep going forever. It could go wrong, and there's nothing to say it won't.
I agree with you on that point, though. But they've already played three of the top six and absolutely dicked all three of them. I've not seen a club go to Stamford Bridge and just wipe the floor with Chelsea like they did.
I wouldn't say they wiped the floor with them.
They destroyed them.
They were better, definitely. They deserved to win, definitely. They probably deserved to win by more than they actually won by. But it's, again, when you're talking about those kinds of games, it's on the head of a pin. Because if you look at the actual chances, the ones with chances you're going to win the game on, both sides had chances. And City's went in, Chelsea's didn't. I don't want to get too ahead of going, oh, this is the best team in ages. Oh, they're going to win it for sure. Oh, they're better than all the other teams. There's too many things where you think, let's wait and see what happens when they have a bad month. Let's wait and see what happens then, if they do have one, of course, and then we can tell a little bit more about that side. Because there is the possibility, a bit like last year, where they turn out to be nothing more than really a confidence team. And you suddenly knock that confidence, which hasn't happened so far, but you knock it and suddenly we're in a lot more of a difficult situation. I want to see what happens when they lose their first game. That's what I want to wait and see how they react to that. That'll be important.
Also, I
wonder if they will lose a game.
No, none of that.
I wonder what happens the first game they have to play without De Bruyne, because he's been ridiculously good. He's been like, you know, Suarez or Bale, or I know the different sort of players, but the way he's clearly been head and shoulders above everyone in the league this season, it's ridiculous, and it's frightening just how good he is. I mean, you know, is City going to be able to keep hold of him at the end of the season? If, you know, because he could go and walk into that Barcelona or Real Madrid or whatever team he likes. He's been insane. He's been amazing to watch.
I think the only way he would go to the likes of Real or Barca as it stands now is if he personally wanted to go. Barca or Real cannot offer higher wages than what City could now.
Yeah, I do think he can be a bit of the, you know, City's new Aguero, the player who has for no reason stayed there for as long as he did, other than, well, he's paid a lot of money and he quite enjoyed it. I think he can be that kind of player for them.
He at the moment for me is up there as being a potential Ballon d'Or winner next year.
Yeah, definitely. He is top class, and it makes you think, what the hell is wrong with Chelsea? They are mental.
Really upsets me, you know, the way Mourinho treats young players.
Starting to feel the pain.
No, I do. I go and watch the United under 20. Sorry, this is going off the topic, but I go and watch the United under 23s, and I get really sad watching them because I know none of them will ever get a decent chance in that United team. It depresses me to watch.
Might as well become a Tranmere fan.
Might as well boycott the under 23 games. That'll show them. That'll show them.
Didn't Scott McGinley get a game last week?
Yep.
McTominay.
Pardon?
McTominay, you mean?
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah. But I still don't like Mourinho and his attitude toward... I don't think he treats young players as well as he should. And I don't think anyone... You know, you show me a record of any decent players he's brought through an academy. And
I mean, Scott McTominay will be playing for Fulham in 3 years, having made a collective 15 appearances for United. That's one of those inevitable things. Sorry, yeah. Scott.
I think it's unfair to have that label against Mourinho when, you know, you look at the youth players that both City and Chelsea have got at the moment, and will any of them get potential games?
Oh, no, no, I completely disagree with Anthony on this basis. I hate all of you big clubs. You're all scum.
I think United are one of the better ones to bring through the younger players.
Historically, yes. Current, no. You're just as bad as all the rest. Congratulations, you're approaching, Chelsea territory now. We got one after the last 10 years, boys. Let's fucking sing his name all day. To be fair, it's a criticism you can level at half the Premier League teams these days. None of them are bringing England players through, which is why the England current team is as diabolically shit as it is.
Right, Sam, we'll be discussing...
And then we've got the link to the next part of the show.
Yeah, so in the final part of the show, we will be discussing England. And but first, it's the final round of some of the pitch. Hero.
Okay, so this one. Since 1993, yeah. FIFA have released a list of the best movers in their ranking system. The calculation used is the number of points the team has at the end of the year multiplied by the number of points it earned during the year.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Right, yeah, no, I think I'm following you.
So it's the team that FIFA have decided has basically been the biggest... It's gained the most that year in its ranking system. So this is going back from 1993 to 2016.
Yeah, okay.
Only one nation has appeared twice on the list. I want you to go through and name them.
Okay. Shame first, so is that?
Yeah, shame first.
So just any... Spain.
Yes, they were the nation in 2008.
They used to be terrible, and then they suddenly took over the entire world.
So it's the nation who got the most points that year?
Not necessarily the most points, because that would make them the number one team of the year.
All right.
This was the team that was declared the biggest mover, so it was like the highest increase.
How about, about Northern Ireland? They went from like 100-something to...
No.
No.
I'm going to go.
They were 100 and something a couple of years ago, now they're in the top 20.
So. See, they recently obviously went to the last World Cup and were in our group, and they sort of confounded all expectations, so I reckon they'll be up there. Costa Rica?
Ciao. Costa Rica are in, but
yay,
not from recently. They did it back in 2001.
Wow. I still get a point, though.
You do.
Yay.
Belgium?
Yeah, you would think Belgium.
Oh.
They're not in it.
Wow, life is cruel. Actually, I feel like this one should be really obvious, considering I think they only fairly recently became a country. Croatia.
Croatia are in it twice.
Oh, for
fuck's sake. That was going to be an excellent one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's actually, I've just noticed there's two that have done it twice, but they were one of them. They did it in 1994, and again... 1998. So they must have had some shit 3 years in between.
Can they do really well at the 98 World Cup?
Is that like Suka and such?
Yeah. Oh. Czech Republic?
No.
Oh, fuck's sake. Congratulations, Shane.
Yeah, Shane's already won.
Iceland.
I wondered if somebody was going to say Iceland.
So no.
They'd be wrong to.
Yeah. I got that.
We got a
do you want me to run through them for you?
Please.
Can I make a guess, please?
Yeah, of course you can.
Can I guess Serbia or Montenegro? Were my two. I'd have played if I was...
Yeah, you'd have been wrong on both.
I had a couple I was going to sort of resort to. South Africa, what? Nigeria or Ghana. One of those three got to be in there.
Nigeria was in for 2000.
Is that when they went?
Ghana was in for 2005.
Well,
South Africa was in for 1996.
Okay, so all three of them were in. Neat.
Yeah. 93 Colombia, 94 Croatia, 95 Jamaica, 96 South Africa, 97 Yugoslavia, 98 Croatia, 99 Slovenia, 2000 Nigeria, 2001 Costa Rica, 2002 Senegal, 2003 Bahrain, 2004 China, Ghana in 2005, Italy 2006, Mozambique in 2007, Spain 2008, Brazil 2009, Netherlands 2010, Wales 2011, Colombia again in 2012, and Shane's favourite team, Ukraine, in 2013. Probably where he's basing his predictions from.
Yep, of course.
Germany 2014, Turkey 2015, and France in 2016.
To be fair, if any of us got Bahrain, or Yugoslavia, or who was the other Mozambique, I think that would have been slightly questionable.
China? Yep. Never do you think of China when you think of football? Congratulations,
Shane. Really capitalised on that push in 2004.
As did Bahrain.
Yeah.
And Yugoslavia, well, we all know how that ended.
Right, so, Sterling, Delph, Henderson, Keane, Winks, Dele Alli in today, Butland have all withdrew from the England squad against Germany and Brazil. Anthony, do you find these withdrawals disappointing?
I do, yeah. I think it's a shame because the chances are we're going to see them all playing for their club in the next game. And yes, while they may technically be have slight niggles, I'm sure they could play for England if it came down to it. Yeah, I think it's very disappointing. And yeah, it makes me sad.
Considering we've only got four games before the World Cup. To get a squad, well, before the squad's announced, the World Cup squad's announced.
It's a disgrace. It's a total disgrace. Because, I'm sorry, bollocks are they injured. Absolute horseshit are they injured. Now, here's a simple fact. I can tell you why I know they're not injured. Apart from Butland, who got injured on international duty, every single one of those players plays for a conventional top four team, apart from maybe Liverpool, top five. Kane, Winks and Alli, Spurs, obviously. Sterling, Stones and Delph, City. Henderson plays for Liverpool and Drinkwater plays for Chelsea. I'm sorry, that is not a coincidence, but it's only the big teams' players are dropping out. No chance. Absolute horseshit are they injured. I'm sorry, those players are a disgrace for doing that. I don't care if you're Harry Kane and you're, you know, our only world-class player, or Dele Alli, you're one of our biggest hopes for the future. I don't give a shit. You should feel proud to put on that shirt. It should not be a burden to go and play for England. And I don't care how bad we are at that point. It should not be a burden to represent your country on anything, regardless of whether or not it's football or an art. It shouldn't be. It is outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. And the team we have is... We talk every single time there's an England team called up. And we say, is this the worst England team ever? No, this is the worst England team I think I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I know people are going to say, oh, the Germany team isn't that strong either, and neither is the Brazil team. But we've got a World Cup within a year. What the fuck are we doing? This is unforgivable for some of these players, especially because you know it's coming from the clubs, and they need to burn in hell. Fuck them.
What's the point in the FA organising these games against Germany? You know, on paper, you think Germany, Brazil, the FA's done a good job giving us great games for England, you know, very good, almost practice games to be playing the big nations in the World Cup next year. But we're playing these, you know, friendlies, these practice games with a team that aren't going to be playing at the World Cup. What's the point?
Can I just read, for all those people who are thinking, oh, it's not that bad, Shane, can I read the England team out to people?
There's hardly anyone in it.
Yeah, our goalkeepers are Joe Hart and Jordan Pickford. Our defenders are Ryan Bertrand, Ashley Young, and yes, I'm putting Ashley Young as defender, Joe Gomez, Phil Jones, Gary Cahill, Michael Keane, Danny Rose, who's barely played a minute of football, John Stones, Kieran Trippier, Carl Walker, Harry Maguire. Midfield, we've got Jesse Lingard, Livermore, Jack Cork, Eric Dyer and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. And up front, we've got Rashford, Vardy and Abraham. What is that team? I wouldn't even pick that team as a joke on Football Manager. And I've called up players like Lee Cattermole before for the banter of it. This is absurd.
You have a go at the clubs, Shane. Can I just point out that the two Manchester clubs I don't think have pulled anyone out?
Sterling, Stones and Delph.
You said Stones was in the squad and Delph is.
No,
I thought you said Stones was, sorry. Okay, United haven't.
Yeah. Oh, no, United haven't, because they've barely got any players to go in the England squad anymore. Congratulations by default. Ashley Young shouldn't be anywhere near that pissing England
really?
Squad.
I was saying,
I like Ashley Young. I think Ashley Young's become a very good player. But we should not be dependent on Ashley Young for a potential left-back position. How bad has it got in this country?
I'd be taking taken him to the World Cup for his versatility, personally.
I'd rather have James Milner if we're going to be going on that base.
James Milner's retired from England duty.
I reckon we can convince him. But even
we put him in our team, didn't we?
you look at it and you think, those players dropping out, it's all from the same kind of teams. That's not a coincidence. And maybe, yes, maybe those players are being told by their clubs, can you not? I wish one of them would turn around and go, no, I want to play for my country. It makes me proud to put on that shirt. That's what I'm kind of here in this whole career of football to be about, to be able to play for my country, to play on the biggest stage, play against the biggest teams.
If you're What's
the procedure?
Yeah, for them, not do they have to go through any checks, or is it just basically, they just ring up and say, oh, sorry, I'm not fit?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's got to be that, because otherwise, wouldn't they be able to do a test and go, yeah, no, you are fit, stop messing. It's like at work, you have to show a sick note. I'm genuinely thinking they probably don't have to show a sick note.
The club's had medical records with England.
Well, they're clearly fobbing them off, aren't they? I'm sorry, it's not a coincidence that it's all of these kinds of clubs over and over again doing this. It's not a coincidence. I wish one of the players would have the guts to turn around to their club and say, no, this is what it's all about. I'm an England player. I dream of playing against Germany in an England shirt, which I'm pretty sure every Englishman kind of does.
Can I link that back, though? Because Wayne Rooney, for all the stick he got, I don't think he ever pulled out of an England side, you know, and he was someone who wore the shirt with a lot of pride. And, you know, we have a go at Wayne Rooney. A lot of people have a go at him. But I think him for England was somebody who genuinely really cared.
Yeah, fair enough. Him, Joe Hart, okay, people can question whether or not Joe Hart's good enough for England. I think fair enough on asking those questions. But he's clearly never been one to turn around and think, I don't want to play. Gary Cahill, another one, he's clearly not the best, but he always wants to be in that England team. There are players in there who want to be in there who will try their hardest and play very good for them. I'm glad they're in the team, even if they're not the best. Even if people are saying, like, Joe Hart shouldn't be in there, you want the players in there who are going to inspire the other players, who are going to make those other players want to be part of that England setup. And at the moment, if you're looking at all those players pulling out, you've got basically half our team has pulled out. So you think, what is their actual commitment to our national team? How is that going to look when we come to a World Cup when they're not actually really there for the right reasons? They're not there for their country. They're not there for the whole idea of playing for your country and being a part of that. They're there for basically their own gratification, to make their name for themselves. They're not there for anything else, because otherwise, why wouldn't you play in these games? Surely then...
Why not?
No, it's a disgrace. I'm sorry. It's just...
Why not have a situation where if an England player wants to get out of the squad due to the club putting pressure on them, that they have to get signed off by an England doctor?
That would be a better position. That would be a much better position, but I do think after a certain point you've got to say, surely the players have to have some balls. What? I don't care if you're getting paid that much money a week. I don't care if a club's saying, no, look, we really need you next week. You're a professional footballer, you can play two games in a week. Don't be stupid.
Well, an England doctor would be able to help them with that.
I don't think there's even any... I don't think any of them are realistically actually injured. With the exception of being Butland, because we know he broke his finger. For me, it's just absolutely outrageous. If I was an England manager, I know it's obviously an absolutely ridiculous sentence, but if I was and I had a player say to me, look, I don't really want to be playing for the England team for this week, I'd say, okay, that's fine. You're not going to be playing for the England team again, so long as I'm in charge. Goodbye. You're clearly not committed. Why would I want you? And if they don't turn around immediately and say, look, okay, I didn't realise it was going to be like that, I will play any time you want me to. Okay, fine, fair enough. We kind of threatened and we've given him the ultimatum and they've turned around and gone, actually, it is important to me. But if they turn around like Danny Drinkwater and go, look, I'm not at 100% fitness, who gives a shit? Your country needs you. It doesn't matter if it's for football, it doesn't matter for whatever it's for. If your country needs you for anything, you say yes, with the exception maybe being like genociding people. That's the situation, you say no. But come on, it's absurd.
In Danny Drinkwater's case, I'd argue if he got picked in the England squad, you'd be saying, how can he be picked in an England squad? He's played about a game of football all season.
I would say that, but I also say he shouldn't refuse it. There's nothing incompatible there. No, he shouldn't be called up because he's barely played all season. Also, if he is called up, he shouldn't refuse it. That's an and/or situation.
Well, if he's being honest and say it's better than... I do agree with your sentiments. I'm sort of playing devil's advocate a bit. But if he's playing that much football and gets called up and he's not got the fitness to play these two games, and there's, you know, better players... Well, players who aren't as good technically but are more fit for the game, surely they're better choices for the manager to make.
All right, let's run that hypothetical situation. Shouldn't he then say, all right, I'll turn up, but I should warn you, I'm not that fit. We should have the England doctors have a look at me and make sure I'm all right to play. Shouldn't that be what he does?
Yeah, all right, I'll go with that. You've refuted my devil's advocate argument pretty easy.
Yeah, except the call-up. I'm sorry, some of these players need to take a long, hard look at themselves and just think, you know, they've got to be idolising the old, you know, the proper old school England players, the ones who won the World Cup. They've got to have, when they were younger, they had to have those posters on the wall. They should just think, what would those players think of me now? Because they'd think, you're a dick.
You're really
a dick and they don't want you to play the shirt.
You're really struggling going through that lineup to work, like going through that squad to work out what the lineup's going to be. There's very few, especially in the, you know, midfield and attack. There's not many options.
I honestly hope we get battered twice. I know we're not going up against the strongest Germany team, and there are probably German commentators saying the exact same thing. And again, we're not going up against the strongest Brazil team. But I hope we get battered twice, and it's a lesson to those players. You drop out when your country needs you. This is what's going to happen. Your country's going to get embarrassed on the international stage. It's owed to us. It is owed to us for the fact the FA is utterly spineless and refuses to enforce a call-up in any way, even just saying, all right, you're unfit, turn up and we'll prove if you're unfit. Or the clubs kind of getting that lesson, oh, look at what you are doing to your own country's football. Don't just go, oh, maybe the young players aren't so good anymore. Oh, there's questions there. Watch your team on TV get shit on by your biggest rivals. And that's a bit of a lesson right there. So it is appalling. It's a shit time to be an England fan.
So England have called up some uncapped players, like Tammy Abraham, Drew Gomez, Loftus-Cheek, Jack Cork. Do any of these call-ups excite anyone?
I'm personally glad that Jack Cork's been called up, because he should have got that years ago. I don't think he's a world-class player. He's never going to be that player. But he is a 7 out of 10 every week, if not better than that. Mm. And for all the crap midfielders we've had, he's been better than a hell of a lot of them.
He's older than I thought he was. I didn't realise he was 28.
Yeah, he's a player who could always do us a job. And I do think it's fair that he's in there. I suppose Abraham, I'm quite interested to see what he'll be able to do. Joe Gomez, I think, is absolutely nothing special. I don't really get what everyone's raving about. He just seems like Nathaniel Klein, but slightly taller. I really don't get it. He's not that good. Loftus-Cheek is another one of those who you think maybe he will be half decent, but also at the same time, he could be an utterly forgettable player in the next 5 years.
I'd have picked, I know you're probably going to laugh at me, but I'd have picked Tom Cleverley over Loftus-Cheek based on form this season. And I'm not a fan of Tammy Abraham either, I have to say.
If we're calling up half of these players, why is Tom Cleverley a ridiculous suggestion? That's the point we're getting to now, isn't it?
That's
sensible.
No, I'm not sure about this attack. I'm not a fan of Tammy Abraham. I think he was a bit of a... He scored quite a few at the start of the Championship season last year, and he's sort of got a reputation off that, but I don't think he's good enough for the Premier League, really, let alone England, personally. But it just shows the lack of choice. I think the key thing when you look at an England squad is, you know, you can say it's a poor squad, it's the wrong decisions, whoever he's picked. But, you know, what you've got to then go on and say is, oh, he should have picked such and such, such and such instead. And there's not any other forwards you can think of, really, who should be in there.
Do you know what? If I was Gareth Southgate, I'd have done one of two things. I'd said, all right, you've seen your lot, you don't want to play. Some of these young kids are going to want to play. They've been tearing it up in the under-17s World Cup, under-20 World Cup. They've been doing all sorts of amazing things. Let's give a couple of them a chance. You older lot, you don't want to play, fine. We're giving them a few games. Good luck to them. Or I'd have turned around and gone, you know what, I'm going to resign. Because if you're Gareth Southgate, you're probably not going to go out in a good way. As England manager, being honest, you're probably getting sacked after a poor performance in a tournament. So I think if you resign and you turn around and say, what was the point in being England manager? The players don't turn up, the FA's useless. I think everyone would have turned around and gone, yeah, what was Gareth Southgate guy? He speaks a hell of a lot of sense. Maybe he was the perfect man for the job. Wrong man, right man, wrong time, and all of that lot. Because what can we do with a situation? When we get to the World Cup, honestly, I'd love it if we get to the World Cup and they go to some of these players, you know, well, you didn't turn up for us earlier. Not turning up for us now, are you? Off you go. Do one. Jordan Henderson, piss off. I'd love it.
He just wanted Southgate to resign so he can get the England job.
I don't think it'll happen. I can live and dream because I will be an absolute tyrant to these bunch of pampered shits. But I'm just so embarrassed to be part of this.
The squad with Joe Hart, Gary Cahill, who was the other one you liked, and the under-17s.
Yeah, that's fine by me. Shit, call up Wayne Rooney again. I was saying he shouldn't have retired when he did, but for Myers, bloody well. And Milner.
Do you want to quickly talk about the islands, or should we finish?
Well, Northern Ireland lost, so...
I've not really followed what's gone on tonight.
They lost 1-0.
That's sad.
It was a penalty, it was never a penalty.
they're going to struggle, aren't they? Because that away goal, it's just any win in Switzerland, don't it, they need?
Yeah,
it's a big ask, and I really hope they do it. They've been kind of robbed by the ref there. It's never a pen, but that's a bit of a shame. I'm sad now. I'm sad about everything. I'm a Tranmere fan.
What about the Republic of Ireland against Denmark on Sunday? Is it Saturday, Sunday? Sunday.
They've got a reasonable chance, haven't they? I think...
just need to stop Ericsson, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, the thing I like about the Republic of Ireland is they've got a really consistent team. There's no real weak points in the Republic of Ireland's team. But yes, there's no star players either, but they're kind of 6 out of 10 everywhere on the park at least, and that can be enough to get you to a World Cup. And as much as Denmark have got a couple of really quite decent players, or players who can do something a bit like that Sisto fella, at the same time, they've also got a lot of areas you think, a team like Ireland could get at them. They could run them off the park and then get them down the flank. So, got as good a chance of any of them, and I really hope we do it.
Nice. Shall we finish there?
I think so. I've not really got anything else.
I've sworn enough for one evening.
I thought we saved Hero's voice.
I didn't know you were still there, Hero.
I was late, chain rant.
Thank you. I needed that.
Alright, so thanks for joining us tonight. You can follow us on Twitter, it's at V2Football. Check out our website, Check out our website, v2football.com. And I'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.